Hey everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. I just got back from the King James Bible Research Council annual conference in Corunna, Michigan. This is just a quick review of that conference. Now, I had never heard of this group before until just a week ago when I found out about this conference. I read up on it a little bit and just spur of the moment decided to just book a flight a few days later and be at this thing. And I'm really glad I went because I had a great time. I had a lot of great fellowship with the people that were there, as well as I heard a lot of good messages. So I heard 12 different messages because there were different split sessions. So I couldn't be in two places at once, but I went to everything I possibly could go to in those 2 days, which was 12 sessions. I can't really go over everything right now in this video, obviously, because there's a lot of information, but I'm just going to hit a few of the highlights at this thing. Now, the only person that I was pretty familiar with going in was Dr. Phil Stringer, because of the fact that he is in the documentary film, The Preserved Bible. And so, by the way, if you haven't seen The Preserved Bible, you definitely want to watch that film. It's an excellent documentary. And Dr. Phil Stringer is featured prominently in that. So that was the only person I knew by sight. There were a couple other preachers that I was vaguely aware of. I'd heard their names before and everything. But I went into this conference pretty much cold, not exactly knowing what to expect. But again, it was a great time. The first message of the conference was by Pastor Jason Georges, who was the host of the conference there at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Corunna, Michigan. And yeah, I got to talk to him a lot also just throughout the conference. We did a lot of fellowship, and he's a great guy and came across as a really smart guy, nice guy. And so I enjoyed talking to him. And in his message, he made a great point about the fact that the King James Bible is still really popular because, you know, all these other versions are always trying to take the place of the King James Bible. And they have all kinds of advertising behind them, and people are pushing to replace the King James Bible. But yet, the King James is still the most read Bible in America, super popular. The best sellers on Amazon are King James Bibles. Anyway, so Pastor Georges made this great point that, you know, we should not be ashamed of or hide the fact that our church is King James, because for a lot of people, that's a selling point. It actually differentiates us from the liberal church down the street. A lot of people are looking for a church that preaches the King James Bible. And I know that's been the case over the last 18 years that I've pastored, that a lot of people will show up and say, hey, I was looking for a church that preaches the King James Bible. There's still a huge demand for it out there. People can tell the difference between the King James Bible and these doofus modern versions. So then another highlight was the session that was held by a guy named Brother Josh Levesque called One More Exact Translation, Examining Translators' Purposes and Perspectives. And basically, this was going over things in the preface to the King James Bible. So the King James Bible has this really long introduction called From the Translators to the Readers. And a lot of times, opponents of the King James will cherry pick statements out of that preface to try to claim that the King James Bible translators themselves would not even be King James, and they'd love the modern versions, or just stupid stuff like that. And so he did a really good job of debunking that. First of all, he did a good job of pointing out that this essay, From the Translators to the Readers, is predominantly the work of one person, okay? But a lot of times, just like, this is what all the translators thought or believed. You know, he rightfully pointed out the fact that it's written by one person. And obviously it does express the general view of the translators, but he showed that from their own statements that they talked about the need for having one translation, one authoritative translation. That was the whole point of the project with the King James Bible, because you had a lot of people with the Geneva Bible, a lot of people with the Bishop's Bible, and, you know, they wanted to have one accurate, authoritative translation. And you know what? When the King James Bible came out and a little bit of time went by, pretty soon it became virtually the only English Bible that anyone used among saved Christians, among evangelical Christians. Obviously, the Catholics, they have their, Bible. But the point is that, you know, among Christians, the King James was it for hundreds of years. because it is so good. And so he did a good job of showing the quotes that the modern version crowd will take out of context and putting those in the context of the preface and showing how they definitely would not approve of these modern versions where the Old Testament is deviating from the Hebrew text and following the Septuagint, and they wouldn't think that it's good to have this sort of Tower of Babel, you know, multiplicity of English versions. God's not the author of confusion. So that was a really good session. I enjoyed that. Another one that I want to bring up is there was a guy by the name of Pastor Jared Longsine, and he went over the ESV versus the King James just with regard to style. Because obviously there are textual issues and doctrinal issues in the modern versions, but I don't think we talk about this enough. The fact that the modern versions just kind of suck, you know, like the style is lacking. The King James Bible sounds awesome, and the modern versions are just so drab in the way that they sound, and they're not poetic, they're not majestic, and they just completely just drain the life out of the original. And it's funny because Brother Longsine, in his message, he actually updated the Gettysburg Address to, you know, contemporary English, the way that we talk now. And he read his own, like, updated version of the Gettysburg Address. And obviously, it was just hilarious because it just sounded ridiculous. And it sounded like modern Bible versions, right? Because obviously, the Bible is very powerful and majestic and beautiful in the King James Version. And then you have these bunch of egghead scholars who, although they might produce a lot of verses that are accurate, they're just so ugly in the style of English. And, you know, he showed us a lot of examples. I've actually done the same thing in some of my old sermons where I would just read passages from the ESV just to show how bad they sound. Whereas the King James sounds so beautiful and majestic and everything like that. Because here's the thing, translating isn't just about getting the right meaning. It's also about getting the right feeling, right? It's about getting the feel and the style of the original as well, okay? Because you could say something that means the same thing technically, but you could also just say it in a way that sounds good or a way that doesn't sound good. And so I like that he emphasized that and that he was preaching on that, because I think we need to talk more about that. There was another session that we went to called So You Want to Update the King James Bible by a guy named Brother Mark Reno. And he was, and this is something that kind of came up throughout the conference, people claiming that the King James needs to be updated. And a lot of the speakers talked about the fact that people will exaggerate how archaic the King James is, or, you know, how many problems there are with it as far as, you know, modern audiences understanding it. And typically when they give you a list of archaic words, it's like 50 words or something that are too archaic. You know, the Bible has 31,000 verses in it. It just has so many words. And then, you know, it's just this little handful of words that you can just look up in a dictionary. You can just expand your vocabulary a little bit. But anyway, that session was good because he talked about the fact that you have all these different dialects of English and different people talk different ways. You know, you're never going to be able to please everyone with a Bible that is just exactly how they talk in California or Florida or Kansas or Massachusetts or Australia or England or the Bahamas or something. Obviously, there are all these different dialects of English, and people often speak different registers of English. There's kind of a higher register, so-called, or a lower register of the English language. You know, the King James Bible is written in English, and it's so hilarious when people talk about how it's just so hard to understand, because I've been evangelizing with the King James Bible consistently every week for the last 25 years. And when I'm out knocking doors, virtually never does anyone say to me, "I'm sorry, you know, this Bible you're showing me, it's just, I'm having trouble understanding it. The language is too archaic." Okay, did I say virtually never? Let me rephrase that. Never have I had an unsaved person say to me, I'm having trouble understanding because you're using an archaic version of the Bible. Okay. It just doesn't happen when you're out evangelizing, when you're out soul winning. People understand it no problem. Are there a few things in the King James Bible that are archaic or outdated? Yes, there are, but it's not enough to warrant, you know, creating a whole new Bible version and you know, throwing out the magnificent King James Bible, because, you know, what do you replace it with? Who's going to do the new translation, right? You know, God worked it out so beautifully with just such an amazing group of scholars that gave us the King James Bible in 1611, and it was providential, and that's a pretty tough act to follow, folks. And so he was making a lot of good cases for, you know, why we don't need to update the King James Bible. And he also made a great point that many people have tried to update it, and people are trying to update it now, and it's always a flop. It's always a failure. Everybody wants the King James. They don't want the update. And then, like I said, I can't really bring up every session, but the final session was Dr. Phil Stringer, and he was talking about 1 John 5:7. He gave this really great handout. There was just so much evidence for 1 John 5:7, tons of quotes from scholars and Reformation era guys talking about why 1 John 5:7 is authentic and just all the historical and scholarly reasons why it's authentic. And so that was good stuff as well. So anyway, I could go on and on. I just wanted to kind of hit a few highlights as far as some of the things that we heard. Certain themes came up over and over again about how, you know, we don't need to update the King James. There are a few things that are archaic, but not enough to be really worth making a big deal about. And one of the things that I liked about the conference is that this group of guys in the King James Bible Research Council, they seem to have a pretty healthy view of the King James. Like they don't seem to be over the top radical, this overboard like Ruckmanism. That doesn't seem to be their viewpoint. Obviously, you know, there are different guys at this conference that had slightly different beliefs, and some guys are a little more radical than others and whatever. But in general, this conference had a healthy view toward the King James, it seemed like, where they not only believe that the King James Bible is God's preserved word, but that they also respect and understand that the Greek original and that the Hebrew original are also authoritative, right? Not like these bozo Ruckmanites that are saying that the English corrects the Greek or something stupid like that. They also respected the Masoretic Hebrew text, and they also believe that it's authoritative. They believe that the you know, received text of the Greek New Testament is authoritative, as well as the King James Bible. You know, I just always say, you know, the Greek, the Hebrew, and the King James, these three are one. These three agree in one. You know, I believe all three of them are authoritative, because the King James Bible is a accurate translation of the Greek and Hebrew. So all three of them are right. We don't have to choose. And so I like the fact that they were not too overboard or too radical in their defense of the King James, but that they actually had a good, healthy, right view on this, from what I heard and from the conversations that I had with these guys outside of the pulpit. And so anyway, there's another conference like this coming apparently a year from now. This time it looks like it's going to be in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. I'm hoping to be able to go. Over the last several years, I've gone to a different conference about the King James called the Kept Pure in All Ages Conference. The thing about that conference is that it's put on by Reformed guys. So it's Presbyterians and Reformed Baptists. One good thing about this conference is that these are independent fundamental Baptists putting on this conference. So obviously I have more in common with them, of course, doctrinally and so forth. And there were some Reformed guys at this conference over the last couple of days. Obviously, Reformed guys are, you know, allowed to attend. They're welcome, just like I was welcome at the conference put on by the Reformed guys. But this is cool because it's actually independent fundamental Baptists preaching on the King James. You know, they had a good viewpoint toward it. So anyway, I'm hoping to go next year. Maybe you might want to think about going next year in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. God bless you. Have a great day.